This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, our loving Savior. His words of love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
Our gospel reading opens to us Luke's gospel and a summation that will take us to all the nations. And Dr. Wyatt will share the words of Jesus.
Thank you, Dennis. Sharon's reading is from the 24th chapter of Luke's gospel. And we are party to an appearance, and I share the reality of what this means to us all. I pray you will stay with us.
And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do questionings rise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, and see. For a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And while they still disbelieved for joy, and wondered, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things."
Thank you, Sharon, so much. The gospel readings continue with more about the resurrected Lord. And here in Luke's gospel, coupled with earlier demonstrations that Jesus is no spirit or apparition, and other versions of his call for them all to be witnesses of these things, we begin again with his first appearance to the 10 disciples in Jerusalem. The two disciples who had encountered Jesus on the road to Emmaus have hurried back to the city to tell the others of their encounter. It is more than appearances to women now, and as this was being shared, how Jesus actually was made known to them as they broke bread, that is, as they ate, Jesus now stands again among them and says, "Peace to you." His sudden appearance among them would at least be startling, and yes, for some, frightening. Suddenly, there he is right there among them. Jesus' greeting of peace is very Jewish, but the Hebrew, even the Aramaic, for peace, or actually shalom, has a very involved meaning. Peace, yes, wholeness more, even salvation. Thus the greeting has far more meaning than just simply hello. Their thoughts may have been that the death of Jesus ended all hope that he was Israel's Redeemer, the Messiah. But now, following Easter, the words of salvation are even more relevant. But still the response of the disciples are those of startledness, more even frightened, for they suppose he is a spirit, a phantom, a ghost. Jesus' next words are to this obvious human reaction, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions rise in your hearts?" Such troubled thoughts and questions were more or less typical of the disciples at those very moments when it was most important for them to rise to embrace the truth. Now is the moment for their hearts to rise to the truth of the resurrection, not to be filled with questions. Clearly, as yet, they lack, and in all honesty, all would lack the ability to process what is happening. This is an entirely new experience. So Jesus will add further proof. See my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit has not flesh or bones as you see that I have. Here is added in many English translations, but not unfortunately in all, another verse, only deleted because some of the oldest manuscripts do not have it, but then others do. It is certainly not impossible or unlikely for this statement to follow, that when he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. He spoke of his hands and feet, and surely while doing so, he opened wide his arms with the palms out for all to see. It is then, Luke will tell us, that they, the disciples, still disbelieved for joy and wondered. The English translation is difficult, as is the Greek itself. The disciples' reaction is apparently one of disbelief yet wonder, all mingled with great joy, because their beloved master, thought dead, is here in their presence. It is amazing to us now who did not live through the terror of that night in the garden when he was arrested, the further horror of Good Friday, the mock trial, the farce before Pilate, the scourging, and then the painful agony out on that hill when he was nailed to that cross. All hopes dashed, all the wonderful expectations crushed, now in fear for themselves, fleeing into the night and hiding. Then words from the women of seeing him, and now these two speaking of meeting him out on the road. And now in this room, there he is. Oh, the wonder! Is it possible? It is too easy for us to question them when we are not in their sandals. True, they are slow to appreciate the Lord's own words on this event. And now not even the obvious evidence right before them can produce the faith. But the faith will come quickly as the scriptures are opened to them concerning all of this. Right now, it is all too good to be true. Now Jesus will add one more proof, asking for something to eat. He is given a piece of boiled fish, and he took it and ate it before their eyes. Luke then takes us to the moment that is placed by Matthew later and in Galilee. The words Luke records are a summation, but brings the various themes of Israel's story, Jesus, and the early church together. Each distinct to themselves, yet in these events they become woven together as one seamless cloth. These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Jesus, of course, means the entire Old Testament, as we call it, the great Hebrew divisions of their Bible, the Torah or law, the prophets and the writings or the Psalms, all of it. It is the story of Israel now fulfilled or accomplished in the Messiah. It is the fulfillment of God's promise of redemption. This resurrection makes all the difference in the world. It is not just another Jew crucified by the Romans, not the end of another messianic hopeful, not the death of just another Jewish rebel. This is God's vindication upon this Jesus, his Son, the Savior. Now is God's justification, the exile of Israel now complete in the one new true Israelite, the one true Son of God brought out of Egypt, now accomplishing God's purpose. His divine decree set forth at the very beginning is now accomplished, since Israel, as they were also of Adam and unable to accomplish what they were called to do, what God had separated them unto, and what was their vocation. All of this they had failed in, but not the true Son. He has made it all possible. He is the true Israel, the fulfillment of all Scripture, from the promise to Eve, Abraham, Jacob, and then to David. Here is the Son, the seed that shall claim David's throne, and of his kingdom of which there shall be no end. But it is not to be some petty little state along the shores of the eastern Mediterranean, reaching from the Jordan to the sea, but of this kingdom, its breath shall reach to the ends of the earth. It is now all fulfilled, and so he opens their minds to understanding the Scriptures. It is one biblical exposition we all would have loved to be present at, to hear Jesus lay out from the first chapter of Genesis down through the history of Israel, the promises and threats enumerated in Deuteronomy to Elijah, Saul, and David, and then the prophets, especially Isaiah. You know the passages, despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And with his stripes we are healed. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all, like a lamb led to slaughter. One could go on and on, as I'm sure the Lord did, right on through the Psalms. The stone which the builders have rejected has become the head of the corner. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstools. They have pierced my hands and feet. They have divided my garments among them, and for my garments they cast lots. Thou dost not give me up to Hades, or let thy holy ones see corruption. This and more, for all of Scripture speaks of Jesus, and have their consummation in him. Luke's summation of what Jesus will say moves in three directions. The Messiah should suffer, rise from the dead on the third day, and then repentance and forgiveness of sin should be preached in his name to all nations. Obviously, should suffer will be in reference to the entire passion narrative. This is what the disciples had frequently struggled with, the pronouncement by Jesus of being taken by men, of his rejection and having to suffer at their hands. They had trouble with this, believing that Jesus, whom they saw as the Messiah, having to suffer at all, as not conceivably being part of God's purpose. Yet here Jesus even states that the Messiah, that God's purpose are to be met. Not in power, by lording it over others, not in clever manipulations or power grabs, but by rejecting all such things of the world. Instead, he was to be obedient to the purposes of God. As this was fulfilled, so too is Jesus' own prophecy of his being raised on the third day. And as this too is fulfilled, for Jesus is here in their midst, and thus what follows will as well be fulfilled. But unlike what is normally believed, that it is Jerusalem that is to be the center to which all nations will come, here it is reversed. Beginning from Jerusalem, the message is to be proclaimed or preached out to all the nations. Jerusalem is still critical, but no longer the goal, but the source. And from here the word of repentance and forgiveness is to be preached. This repentance is describing the proper response to what has been accomplished at Calvary. As the crowds later in the temple, when cut to the heart, will respond to Peter's first sermon by saying, "What must we do?" Peter's response is to repent and then be baptized, everyone, in the name of Jesus. It begins with repentance. Any act of submission to God's call is to repent, all that one might thereby be forgiven. This is found throughout Luke's two books, the basis of salvation and how salvation is experienced. It is the actuality, the reality of the forgiveness of sin, salvation for humanity because of the payment of the debt we could not pay. And as such, we are justified in Christ Jesus and ransomed from our just deserts. And this is all in His name. It is in Him, about Him, and for Him. As salvation is proclaimed as possible for all who will call upon the name of the Lord. It is all in His name. It is in His name we preach. In His name we proclaim healing and baptize. And yes, we will suffer for His name. The disciples were witness to all of these things, the passion, the crucifixion, and the resurrection, and what it means. That is that repentance and forgiveness in His name is available. That we now are not directly eyewitness to these things means very little, for we are those who are blessed because we believe and yet have not seen. We are to preach, but actually the word is to proclaim this fulfillment of Scripture, the consolation of Israel, the accomplishment of God's divine purpose. It is literally what His life, ministry, death, and resurrection were all about. It is no afterthought, something conceived when things somehow did not go as planned. No, this was the purpose. The Messiah should suffer, and on the third day rise from the dead, and then that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Yes, all of it is in God's providence. And yes, everything then was to be fulfilled. And everything was fulfilled. And everything will be fulfilled, proclaimed to every nation. O Lord, I want us all to embrace our vocation as the children of God, to proclaim, to preach, to share, to instill in others the truth of the gospel message, that He was to suffer, and He was raised on the third day, and now repentance and forgiveness is available to all who will call upon His name. That indeed one day His kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven, and altogether we will rejoice in the consolation of Israel, as the completed people of God for all eternity, all for the blessed name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
The closing portion of Luke's gospel is important for its emphasis on how all these events are the fulfillment of all Scripture. We often fail to appreciate just what the resurrection means in understanding how Jesus, rejected, crucified, and now raised from the dead, has changed everything. It is the seminal event of Christianity, and for one more week, Thomas is offering his study, Evidence of the Resurrection. Here is laid out rationally and compelling the reality of this most important event. So do write and ask for Evidence of the Resurrection. It can be yours at no charge. We also want to thank all of you who by your thoughtfulness and prayers have kept this ministry vital and on your wonderful radio stations. We depend on dear people like you for the Word of God to be broadcast to a world that is so in need of hearing the good news of God's grace. Again, we sincerely thank all of you who are praying for this ministry. God bless you for your support. Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V68 4N1. Or you can contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. I love this theme that we have been brought from faith to life. He has broken the chains, and we have run out of our grave into his glorious day. There are so many that have found this true, that there is life in Christ. There is nothing more fulfilling, gracious, loving than life in Christ Jesus. Those that refuse his free offer of forgiveness, wholeness, and his life-healing presence are fools. Life in Christ is everything. Life without him is empty, nihilistic, and void of meaning. That's the choice: meaning, value, love, or emptiness. No meaning or worth without him. So if you are on the edge, do right. We are here for you, and Dennis will provide our addresses once more. After Travis Cottrell performs what I have already introduced, Glorious Day. And until next week, know that life in him is a glorious day.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my turn till I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future. My eyes are open. 'Cause when you call my name, I ran out of the grave.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available, and for the last time this Eastertide, Dr. Wyatt is offering a copy of his book, Evidence for the Resurrection. Here is provided wonderful insight into all the evidence in our New Testament and elsewhere to this remarkable event that sets Christianity apart from all other religion. So please write and ask for your copy of Evidence for the Resurrection. It is yours at no charge. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. White at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.